Hello, Don.
Hello.
I am having issues getting it up, getting everybody on board. But 313. Like to say you're the only one on right now while I try to get the others back on. I have this on there. Now I have to one by one get everybody else involved, and we'd like to welcome the people who are listening to the show. We're having some technical issues. They're minor, but we will work them out as we get along. So, Don, how have you been, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Stressed.
I know you seem to be stressed, man, but everybody will call in. Why don't we invite listeners to call in? That are listening right
go.
Now.
Right.
See if we have a tremendous listening audience out there, and which I know we do, but you're invited to call in to a man's voice, and that number is, David, go ahead, give us the number, and let's invite people from all over the world to call in.
Right, 646-668-8740.
Repeat that number a little slower, my brother.
646-668-8740. Okay.
Great.
Let's see. I am sending texts to the other guys. A couple of them have called me and saying that we are we going to do a show? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So what's the weather like down there where you are?
Oh, man, it's a beautiful day. Beautiful day in South Florida. Beautiful day. I mean, it's about maybe 85 degrees, a little light wind, brisk wind. Oh, man. Living in paradise.
Right. Let me know. So there's been a lot of things. Give me something while I'm working. That you would like to talk about, we could talk about as I try to text and talk at the same time.
What's happening in the news today?
Can you come in? I'm on the air. I just got it up. Okay, thanks.
Say it again.
I'm sorry. I was on the line with someone else.
Okay.
I was calling all the brothers to come to the line, and they are doing that. So while I'm doing that, we can talk about, I don't know, in the news, there's so much going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much going on, so much going on. We got so much going on in America today. This is an exciting time to be alive, David. I'm going to tell you that. I'll tell you that. I really enjoy every day that I have a chance to spend on God's green earth.
You're on the air now. Can you come in, please? Thanks. All right. I am in, and there's Darius. Darius, how are you, sir?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. God is
doing
good.
Doing better than me right now. So, Darius, you guys need to talk about something.
Say again?
So you guys can talk about a few things. Let me get some news, some articles that I have found and stuff I wanted to talk about. How was your – wait a minute. How was 4th of July? Let's talk about that. How was your 4th of July down in Florida there, Don?
Oh, the 4th of July was something to behold. You know, I have a nephew that my wife and I had a chance to mentor most of his life. We brought him home from the hospital in 1972, and he elected to – getting married in South Florida.
No.
We had to put together his wedding on the 4th of July. Oh, my God.
Wow. That's not one you're going to forget.
Never. And, David, you know, on the 4th of July in South Florida, it's like crazy on the beach. It took us an hour to get to the beach, number one, and then it was 100 degrees outside on the beach. The sand was cooking their feet. It was crazy. If you ever want to get married, do not get married on the 4th of July in South Florida.
Sir, where are you on the why are you not on the show? Come on. Did you get married? Did they do it? What beach did they go to?
Got married at the Fort Lauderdale Beach.
He had a spot just for that. That's in the shade. That's on the beach. That's designed. I designed it for that one particular thing. Wedding. I wish you'd let me know.
Oh my God! I wish we would have got married at your former place, Virginia Key Beach.
Yeah, there's a spot there designed for weddings where it's right in the cold and nobody can see it. It's kind of and everything, but I don't want to talk all about that on the show. But if anybody knows about Virginia Key Beach, it, you know, before freaking Americans could get in the water in Miami, they had to have a protest to get some water, and they gave them an island out in the Atlantic Ocean, which is now one of the most popular places to go in South Florida. But the news today, the raid started today. Have you, anybody, Darius, have you heard anything going on about the raids that are going on today?
Yeah, I actually just, it's funny you say that. I was just listening to the radio a second ago, and one of the ICE representatives said that that it's a whole lot of panic going on, but there were actually no raids done today because it's Sunday, and they said typically, you know, they don't do raids on Sunday, so they said there wasn't anything that happened today. And that he was speaking about California. I don't know if he was talking about California specifically or it was nationwide, that there weren't any raids that actually happened today.
Right. But there were a lot of mayors. I know the mayor of Atlanta was not cooperating. A lot of mayors are not cooperating with these raids. So I guess my question is, do you think that the mayors of the cities or the cities should join in with the President of the United States, or do you think they might be?
I think it's a shame that they have a blatant disregard for federal law. It seems to be that the far left is veering more toward rights and benefits for non-citizens over the safety and benefits of Americans, of citizens, I should say. When you talk about everything from the giveaways, to health care and not wanting them to be deported and the treatment of people who break our federal laws, it just, for some reason, I can't really put my finger on it. I don't understand it. If you or I or any of us on the panel, if we were to commit a crime, we'd be taken to jail and we would be separated from our families. There would be no discussion. There would be no mayor standing up for us and saying, hey, Darius has five kids, and we don't want to separate him from his family. There would be no protest. So I just don't quite understand where somehow it's become immoral to want to enforce the laws of the country and to look out for the welfare of citizens first, taxpaying citizens first.
Okay. Bruce is in. I'm sorry. I didn't know he was there. I kept going over it. Bruce, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah, we can hear you well. So did you hear what Darius was just talking about on the rage today? And the question was, the mayors, a lot of the mayors in a lot of the cities said they were not going to cooperate with the president's raid on illegal aliens. What do you think?
Well, a lot of what Darius has said, I agree with. They keep saying also on top of that, well, if you talk that way, you're not being compassionate, which is what our country's all about. I beg to differ, because compassion comes in many forms. And what about being, as Darius said, compassion to those that are here and that are citizens first, and then on top of that, those that are trying to become citizens and enter the United States of America the correct way? Why do all of these people that have decided to, well, I can just jump the fence, no pun intended, and get in, and they'll give me all this stuff, and they'll do all of that. I can go to the head of the line. That's, for us to allow that to happen is wrong. Now, I wouldn't disagree that if some people have been here, even though they've been here for years and came in illegally, maybe there's another way we can address that. But almost an invasion in number of people that are coming in now with no disregard to our laws, our regulations, our rules, is going to take us down a dark path. Because without that, you and I and all our panelists could cite many different situations. Someone coming into your house, being in your house for a year, saying, well, I don't have to leave now. This is my house, and I'm going to live with you, and you're gonna pay for supporting me. Now, none of us would do that. So this logic seems to be rooted. One of the big things it's rooted in is power. And if it's not the Democrats trying to get the upper hand on power, it's the Republicans. It goes back and forth. But I wonder how all this would react if we said all the aliens that come in this fashion right now, they aren't doing it the right way. They will never be able to vote. Even if they become citizens, they will not have the right to vote. I wonder what would happen with all this situation then.
Well, Don, where are you on this conversation?
I agree with a lot of what Darius said, and I agree with what I just heard from Bruce. I mean, we're in a very uncharted territory here in America. the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we've accepted all of the immigrants down through the years, and now they've learned how to work the system and come here illegally, and it's put a burden on our government and also our people. I agree. We have to take care of home first. We got people starving at home that we need to take care of. We got people that can't even drink clean water, clean drinking water. We need to take care of things like that first before we start, as Bruce said, letting someone live in my home and then they take squatters' rights in my home. So we got some serious issues ahead of us, and we got to deal with them. And the thing is, with ICE doing the targeted cities, why even address the cities that you're going to be going to? Just get it done. You know, I mean, come on. You know, all they got to say is, do you have a search warrant? No. All right, I'm not letting you in. And legally, they're under the law. So we got some serious issues. I rest my case.
Don, I got a question for you, and Darius too. Both your opinions. What do you think of all these fair weather communities? You know, out west. You know, where people could literally live on the street all year long. Why do you think that is happening? And at now, because you know it's breeding all kinds of disease and pestilence. And why is that happening now, guys? I'd like each one of your opinions.
I think because we allowed it to happen, Bruce. Come on, I mean, we allowed it to happen, Bruce.
Absolutely, we did. Why do you think we allowed it to happen then?
It's because we live in a culture of where morality is based, or fake, a false morality is based on empathy and compassion, and I think tough love is no longer considered empathy and compassion. Today, I was in a Starbucks, and I ordered a coffee, and I had a call. And I wanted to sit down and drink my coffee on a conference call. Well, while I was there, there were like four homeless people with blankets sitting in the chairs. And here I am, a paying customer. I couldn't even sit down anywhere. And the reason why that happened, it goes back to, I think, what Bruce said, is that because we allow it. And when you do that, Starbucks has said, okay, we can't put anybody out. We can't deny access to anybody to use the bathroom, because they're not purchasing anything. So now they've created an environment that welcomes that type of behavior. Starbucks has even gone so far as to put needle dispensers in their bathrooms now. So when you have these sanctuary type policies where you tell everybody, hey, come on in, we'll take care of you, and with no regard for the laws that say, you know, you shouldn't pitch a tent in public places or block sidewalks or these, you welcome this type of behavior. Not only do you welcome it, you encourage it. And that's going to beget more of that type of behavior.
Yeah, it's beyond welcoming it. It is encouraging it now. It's only going to get worse unless we turn it around. And turning it around doesn't mean it has to be brutal, nasty, insensitive, but we better turn it around or it's going to get real ugly. It's going to get a lot uglier than it is now.
You know, it goes back to enabling. That's a strong word, enabling. If you come into my house, there's some laws that you have to abide by if you want to stay in my house. And I look at that as the country. This is my house. And the thing is, I'm not going to enable you to be stupid. I'm not going to enable you to disregard the righteous morals and standards that I've set up in my house.
And I've noticed an underlying tone of not all immigrants. There's some very fine immigrants that come in the right way, even some illegal immigrants, which I know we're not supposed to say, but it's true.
that are fine people. But the ones that aren't have gotten this boldness and this cockiness now that, you know, if I want to take down the American flag and raise this flag, or I want to take and burn it, or I want to call you a racist, or I want to do this, I'm going to do it. People that came into this country used to come in with a humbleness and a respect that earned them our respect to help them. Now some of these are coming in and says, you owe me, give me this, give me that, I want this now. I know I get a card, I get a house, next I'm going to get a car, and you're going to give me a free credit card. I mean, what? It's crazy.
Yeah. The culture of entitlement.
Entitlement, that's what it is. You know, and I can really see it visually in South Florida. I mean, in South Florida, Dade County, Miami, I call that Northern Cuba. That's Northern Cuba to me. And
right.
I can go to Hialeah, and I can walk down the street or pull up to a gas station, and Darius or Bruce or David, you'll think you're in another country.
I bet.
You'll think you are actually in another country. People are talking Spanish or Latin, and I don't understand a word they say unapologetically. And tell me, I don't understand what you're saying. Me no speak English. I said, well, you better learn how to speak English. No. They don't have to. And it's ridiculous.
And if you question that, then you're called. If you question it, then you're considered a racist.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that word is so misused now that it's tagged for everything. So therefore, it means almost nothing. Just the way it used to really be used when it really meant what that word implied. I mean, now if I don't have an answer for you and I don't agree with your stand, you're a racist. It's like the universal way to answer somebody if I don't like what you say. It's silly. It's insulting. It's not using your brain to try and solve a problem or communicate with someone in a way that's not confrontational. I don't know. It's disgusting what's going on.
It's sad. It's an inability to compete in the arena of ideas, and
that's
so
right.
you hurl insults instead.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I said, wouldn't it be great if we could have true debates? You pick the subject, you pick the place, I don't care. And we had two sides, whether it's Republican or Democrat or left or right or whatever, and make them really debate. Defend your position, why you think you're right. Then we'll have the other do theirs. And then the public that's viewing this will decide who's right. That's a debate. If you've ever been on a debate squad, that's a true debate. We don't have debates. We have arguments.
All right.
That's right. Hey, Bruce, without even listening.
That's right. That's right.
Well, all right. Go ahead, Bruce. You want to say something?
No, I just... And we depend on our public servants that we pay a lot of good money for and put in a lot of effort to get them in office to perform for us. It's become so low in the level of performance that we just throw our hands up. Some people are getting angry enough that they're doing something about it, which we've never done. It used to be, oh, well. But it's getting so ridiculous that they must think we don't have to do anything. All we have to do is let them huff and puff and complain, and we'll just go about doing whatever we care to do instead of what the public wants us to do. And that in itself is political cockiness or political ineptness that seems to be growing more and more each day, and that's taking us in the wrong direction. You guys know as well as I do, if you have an argument or a discussion with someone and you get them in a group, you get one result. If you get the person that you're really debating with or have an issue with one-on-one, invariably you two can come to an agreement or a decision to disagree or whatever. It's not an argument and it's not a fight. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. What you have now is the people who claim to be the most tolerant are the people who accuse others of being fascist. Those are the main ones that make the effort to shut down public debate. They don't even want to hear an opposing argument. They don't even want to.
Right.
Antifa will beat your brains out before they hear your side of the argument. Right or wrong.
Literally beat your brains out.
Literally, right. If you come to speak on a college campus with a different point of view, they will drag you off of the stage before they even listen to what your position is. They don't have to agree with it, but just they won't even listen. And that's serious. And we've catered to that, and we've offered these people safe spaces where they don't even have to hear an opposing point of view. So I don't know what kind of world we think we're creating by offering those types of concessions. I mean,
we're manifesting differences of opinion in arguments, fights, and heated protest instead of logic, discussion, and problem-solving solutions. That's the way it used to be. Now it's what you just said. It's just, I don't want to hear it. You're a racist.
Right.
Gentlemen, let me ask a question. There was a notice that came up from one of the listeners is, how far do you think the raids should go? Should a person who was brought here at three or four, at a young age, 3, 4, or 5 years old, they're now taking those people out in the raid. Do you believe that's the way it should be? Or what do you think the parameters of the raid should be? What about you, Bruce? What do you think? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. We haven't heard from Jeremiah. Jeremiah's on there. Jeremiah, what do you think the parameters of the raid should be in terms of who they should take away? Jeremiah, we know you're there.
He's doing a silent protest.
I know. All right, so Bruce, why don't you take that?
Well, what happens is, what's gotten us to this point? Without going into all the details of what the ICE raids or ICE deportation action should be, I don't particularly like it, but what's gotten us to this place is because the two sides or the sides that disagree or the multiple sides can't be civil enough to talk this out. Don't go on vacation. Don't take a potty break. Sit down and work this out. This is manifesting itself into drastic motions on both sides. Trump, maybe they think his action is drastic. The Mod Squad, AOC, and those, all their, crazy opinions on a number of things. Instead of sitting down and trying to come up with a way to work together, it's like either both sides or one side at a time says, I don't want to listen to what you had to say. I'm not going to listen. Don't have. So these wild gyrations back and forth, left and right, many of them are being caused because they won't talk things out and act like adults to come up with solutions. That's what I think.
All right. What about you, Darius?
Bruce is dead on that. A lot of this stuff is happening because of Congress's inability to act. But in terms of the raids, Trump said that they were only going to focus on people who've had their due process and have been ordered by a judge to be deported. Now, I do understand that in that process, there will be some people that will be caught up. You know, there will be some collateral damage. But at the same time, while my heart goes out to them, it's still, hey, if you get caught up in the process, I don't think we should waste government resources and time and energy looking for those people. But if we happen to come across those people in pursuit of, you know, someone who is violating the law in a manner other than illegal immigration, then hey, that's just a part of it. And it's sad, but the blame is not on the U.S. government. The blame is on the parents. You know, like everybody's blaming the government for the treatment of these kids, but the blame really lies on the parents who brought them here illegally.
Right. Whoa. It's been one of those days. One of the things that I want to bring that piece to a close and talk about something that came up. The Jeffrey Epstein came up on, there was a question on, doesn't it seem like in previous generations, the wealthy got away with things, but here's a billionaire, millionaire being accused of some things that, and money is not buying him out. So there was a comment made, email that we got that said, isn't it weird that now the rich are paying for their crimes? What has changed? What do you think, Don? Do you think anything's changed, or what do you think is going on? Why now we see the wealthy? Because I don't think in previous, you know, we saw the wealthy being chastised the way Epstein and his friends, and goes back to the president of the United States, who's one of his friends. So is it a way to get back to the president, or is this actually times changing and now I'm going to have to pay for the crimes that they do? What do you think?
Well, David, you called on the right person. And I mean, I'm furious. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous as to what we're going through with him. Let me throw a name out and tell me if this isn't blatant racism. Bill Cosby, Epstein, what's the difference? Here's the difference. We're looking at a man of color, and we're looking at another man that's not of color. Both of them have money, but he's able to buy his way out of the system. Isn't that something? And then he has the audacity to say, I'll put my island up, and I'll do a house arrest. And then to get Homeland Security Director, I mean, he should have resigned a long time ago when it first happened. And it's some more stuff that's going to come out with this Epstein situation. It's ridiculous. I mean, just because he has money, he's able to buy his way out of the system. A blatant child molester down through the years, bring kids to his private island. Understand what I'm saying? Bring kids to his island, rape them, all kind of sex acts, because he's got the money. And now he's got a chance to buy his way out of the system. Come on, give me a break.
What are your thoughts, Darius?
I won't quite go there and say it's racism.
Between him and Bill Cosby, it's racism. Bill Cosby, he's being punished for something that happened 30, 40 years ago.
Right. And that's the reason why I won't say it's racism. Because just like Epstein, Bill Cosby was allowed to get away with that for years. That was an open secret. Epstein was allowed to get away with what everybody knew what Epstein was doing. And he was allowed to get away with it. Everybody knew what Harvey Weinstein was doing, and he was allowed to get away with it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they will get the same treatment that Bill Cosby got?
Yeah, they're going down. They're going down. And the reason why is because now we have a culture that's a lot more sensitive to that behavior. You know, with the Me Too movement and these other things. Now, the problem is, I mean, not the problem, but the reason for it is, which is David's original question, the reason of it is because they want so badly to get Trump. Started looking at people, and then what happened is a few people that they like, the other party, the left, who they celebrated, they kind of got caught up in that trap. But that wasn't the initial intent of this movement. This was an effort to get Donald Trump or to get back at him, and these people just happened to be collateral damage in the process. So that's why all of this is happening. And it's you know, when you cast your net, you're trying to catch tuna, you know, there are going to be some dolphins that get caught up in that net too. So that's why this is happening now. But
Darius, you know something? You said it right. Guilt by association. Clinton has visited that island more so than anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, association.
They said 27 times. Didn't mean to cut you off, but the logs, and this is what's documented. The pilot's log showed 27 visits. So
exactly.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he probably wasn't going there to mentor anybody. I do agree with what Darius said, Don, is that even if you look back at Bill Cosby, what he was accused of and beat in the court of law, a lot of people, as you said, by association, thought he beat it. You each decide on your own. But he was, what's the anniversary now? It was 20 years ago now? I think it was 20 years ago. The whole situation of pulling back the curtain and seeing who the Wizard of Oz really is or who's controlling what is different now. We never even thought of getting on stage and pulling that curtain back, and now we're trying to find stages to do it on. So I agree with what Darius said is the psyche and you can determine on your own whether that's good or bad. I think if someone's done some heinous things, some bad things that need to be punished, and we can expose it because of more visual awareness now to do that, I think that's a good thing.
Okay, let's take a poll. Let's take a poll, gentlemen. Bruce, do you think Epstein will get house arrest?
Do I think Epstein will ultimately be punished and punished hard?
No, that's not what I asked you.
Okay.
Do you think, let's take one step at a time, because it's going to be a process of being punished. They're going to drag that thing out, and he's got enough money to drag it out. Come on, let's get real. Do you think Epstein will get house arrest?
In other words, being held.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Do you think they'll let Epstein out of prison, out of jail, to go home to his island or his penthouse being guarded by our tax dollars? Do you think that will happen?
No.
Darren, do you think that would happen?
Absolutely not. They're going to throw the book at him. Because if they do that, then it's going to be hypocrisy, because this is the reason why Trump's I can't remember his name. Somebody help me out. The secretary that just stepped down.
The one that just quit. Yeah, the one that retired.
One that just resigned. He was the prosecutor over that. And so he got in trouble for allowing that to happen. So nobody's going to come behind him and allow that to happen again. They're going to throw the book at Epstein.
And Don, the reason I think both of us are pretty confident in that, at least I am, is let that happen and see what happens with the hue and cry from the press and everybody else and saying how dare they, and they're sensitive to that. That's not going to happen.
I disagree.
You agree, David? You disagree, David?
I think they're going to let him go spend time in his house on Upper New York. It's a very expensive place, and put a ankle bracelet on him. I definitely think so. I mean, in the backdrop, they have always dropped big bucks to the people that need it, or tell them to find people to say, if you let this happen, we will help you in your next election, all that. He has enough dollars. He has enough pull to make that happen.
All right, so David. All right, David. Then why didn't that happen for Weinstein?
Because he didn't have the connections that Epstein does, because he is connected to the President of the United States, who has the key to the back door that other people didn't.
In his own right, David, he had just as many connections and was just as established.
But they were
so famous. Why didn't it should have happened with Weinstein, too?
They were basically entertainment connections. They weren't political. They weren't judges.
No, sir. He was heavily connected in the Democratic Party. He was a big, big, major contributor. He hosted campaign fundraisers. He was very well connected.
Yeah,
he became radioactive, and everybody started to back away from him.
He was connected to the Democratic Party, which was at that time having a hard time just keeping their head above ground. And so you just answered my question. That is not the people making the decisions these days. And that is
not
who our president has in his inner circle.
You still got a whole lot of Democratic circuit judges and a whole lot of Democratic prosecutors. The SDNY is certainly no friend of Donald Trump. And they're the ones who's bringing this action. And the only way he'll get off is if he has evidence of Donald Trump being with one of those young girls on one of these excursions. If he has that and he's willing to testify on that behalf, that will be his saving grace, because if you can get Donald Trump, they'll let anything go. he can have a contract where he's partnered with Satan to rule the world, and they'll exonerate him if he can bring down Donald Trump. Other than that, he's gonna do time, heavy time.
Well, and you don't think he will come clean with something like that if it looks like he's going to jail? He'll come up with something.
He's got to have evidence. If he's got that evidence, then yeah, he'll get off.
Well,
I'll tell you what, gentlemen. I'll tell you what. We're about to see Chapter 5. It's coming up soon.
Do you guys think that who's the one, the Mueller report? Do you think Mueller is going to do you think the Democrats decide, this is not going to turn out well, and they're going to keep delaying it until they just say, we're not going to have the hearing now? What do you think?
I don't know.
Oh, they're gonna have it. Hey, Bruce, they're gonna have it. They're gonna have it.
They postponed it once already. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, they postponed it and said that they're gonna give more time. What does that mean? What does that mean?
What that means. We have no idea.
give you more hours.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I never believed that he was going to testify, and maybe he will, but I just think the Democrats think they want him to testify, but that is going to be a nightmare for them if he gets up there and testifies, because they have to understand it. Republicans are going to question him too. It's not just Democrats that get to ask him the question, and they're going to ask him, why didn't you go into the origin of the dossier? Why didn't you go into how Hillary Clinton funneled money through an attorney's law firm to pay for the dossier? How come you didn't tell us that what did you do with the text messages that were destroyed between the FBI agents and their plot to get Trump? Why did you pack the team with all Democrat and Hillary supporters? And I mean, there's so many unanswered questions, and trust me, Mueller does not want to answer those questions, and the Democrats do not want him to answer those questions.
I think the Democrats have finally realized that this could really backfire on us. Maybe we don't want to do this.
Big time.
Now it's scheduled for July 24th. It was just on the TV. Watch it get postponed one more time and then disappear.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. We got a couple of questions here. People are telling me, say this, you're listening to the man's voice, and there's so many of you that are listening and not dialing in to talk with us. I'm dying just to get in this conversation. The number here is 646-688-7740, the man's voice. So come on, join us in. I see you're listening and you're sending emails and texts, but and more messages. One of the messages that I just recently got was, do we want to talk about, do we know, explain why all of a sudden Area 51 has become a major concern in the United States? I'm not all familiar. I know about Area 51. I know that that's where it is said that that's where the United States keep the hidden spaceships that came in and all the space aliens. That's where all this is happening. But I've noticed that there has been a lot of buzz and talk in the news and stuff about Area 51. And there was something about the United States had a spaceship that they actually took out in public, moving it from one location to another without covering it up. And now the word is out that was just a mock-up to take to think people that we moved something to another area so we would quit talking about Area 51. Darius, do you know anything about Area 51 and do you have any thoughts about, is there something new in that we're not aware of that might have, that is happening, and why is this now a lot of buzz? Because there's always been buzz in the background, but right now the websites, the blogs are full of this Area 51 stuff. What's going on?
I believe it's because of, I don't know if you guys have seen the footage of these naval pilots who actually encountered an unidentified spacecraft or aircraft, and they released the Navy, or the Navy pilots released this video, and it piqued curiosity because they did not deny that they did not know. They could not identify those spacecraft. And so I think once those videos got released, that just sparked curiosity, and now the whole alien thing has gained a whole new momentum. But if you guys haven't seen it yet, YouTube it, Google it. It's very, very, very convincing video.
Tell us about the video. They actually show what is the video actually showing?
These naval pilots are running some exercises, and there's this aircraft that's flying at a trajectory that no identifiable Earth aircraft flies at. And they're maneuvering at stop-and-go speeds that have never been seen before. And it was more than one pilot. I think it was about three or four pilots out there. And they caught it on their video. And so they questioned the pilots. It wasn't an official statement from the Pentagon, but the pilots gave a statement. And when they asked the Pentagon about it, they said they would not deny, you know, or confirm, because they couldn't explain it. They didn't have any knowledge of what it was.
Yeah, it's been happening at Edwards Air Force Base in Nevada, very close to Nellis, is where they, like Darren said, they spotted unusual aircraft. It's strange, and they don't know how to deal with it. It could be Martians. It could be aliens. Nobody really knows who they are.
You know what I find curious, gentlemen, is all these years, all the way back into the 40s, when they really started to track all this and so forth, and the fact, especially today, we can't keep an absolute secret on anything, that nothing has leaked out. I'm a firm believer that I think there's other intelligent, personally, beings or existence other than us,
Don't know what form, don't know what they fly. I don't know what miles per gallon they get on their vehicles, but they're out there. But isn't it curious that we've never seen super sharp footage ever of a flying saucer or a flying object or anything? It's always kind of fuzzy. And I'm not saying that meaning they don't exist. I'm just all this time in, you know, almost 60, 70, 80 years, we haven't gotten one crisp, clean shot with their origin of their name on it or something. I find that very curious.
Yeah, I think that's why this footage is so fascinating, because this is the first time that they actually have government military footage, you know, showing these unexplained aircraft.
Yeah. It'll stay a mystery. You know it will. Unless they land in New York and go to a Starbucks and order coffee, and then they'll be kicked out anyway.
Actually, there'll be some of the homeless sitting on front of there. Like, so the question is, do you believe in that there's life outside of Earth, Bruce?
Oh, absolutely. I would, to me, it would be, for me, just me, that it would be rather naive to think that there isn't any other kind of intelligent form of life other than us. It might be true, but the vastness they say we live in and the other galaxies and all of that, and that's why I'm curious when they go to Mars and the more and more they see that there was evidence and water and all this and that. Yeah, I don't think that's being made up. I think curiosity is a fantastic thing, and I don't think they have to make up things to say, oh, see, look, we found something. I you know, at some point I guess they do if they keep spending a lot of money, but I absolutely believe that there's some other kind of forms of intelligent life.
All right. What about you, Don? You think there's life other places than the Earth?
David, when I think of the infinite wisdom of God, anything is possible.
Well, that's almost a political answer, Don.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that I agree with you, my brother. I mean,
I know you do.
I know that Don is not the only one living here.
That's right.
And the thing is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and everything that dwells within, it's all His. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and the airwaves today have been filled with end of days and all of that going on in the track that we're following. So I don't know if the UFO has prompted that or the droughts have prompted that or what's going on, but it was all over the news today.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. Another question we had is about the earthquakes in the West Coast, the power shortages on the East Coast, and hurricane or Barry coming in Louisiana. Is there anyone out there who still doesn't believe in weather? We have weather issues in this world. That's the question. Don, what do you think?
I don't think we've done a very good job, David, of taking care of this earth.
I think whoever's in charge of it has pissed at us for this earth. What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts on climate control? With all this going on, of course, there is this thing about California falling into the ocean, and now, you know, the latest is that would never happen, although the earthquake was on the last fault recently.
Did you hear about the latest fault that's off the Oregon and Washington coast out in the ocean 50, 60 miles or whatever it is? That's even worse and more active than the San Andreas, and that's going to do the whole West Coast in. So I'd never heard about that, but to answer your question, agreeing with Don, yes, we need to do our part. But I've always said, and I'll say it again, that even if we did our part tenfold, that's not going to solve the world climate problems. We're one of the many players that should do their part. But boy, oh boy, we better get some of the others to do their part, or it's not going to matter a whole lot.
All right. We only have a couple of minutes left on the show, and I want to give, you know, a couple of whoever would like to jump in. Darius, let me ask you, what is it on your mind that you think this panel should discuss?
Wow. I mean, I guess we've covered a lot of it. I think I'd like to maybe see if we could take a stab at the equal pay philosophy or equal pay movement that's been brought about by the U.S. soccer women's soccer team.
Okay, go ahead. What are your thoughts on it? We only have 2 minutes left, so
okay. All right, I'll be quick. I think it's it's a false position when you say it should be equal pay, and you're not stating all of the factors. Like, if you sell out a stadium, I think somebody said that the men's world soccer thing brought in $4 billion 4 years ago, and the women's soccer team, women's World Cup, brought in $173 million. That's not the recent one because those numbers haven't come in yet, but the ones before. So when you take a look at those numbers, I think that explains the pay variable there. It's not discrimination.
All about the dollar. Bruce, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. Tending to agree with, to some degree, what Darius said, equality of pay can be different than just each individual dollar. If indeed what he says is true, and I believe it is, I think I heard that too, maybe it ought to be equal percentages. So if one group consistently is at this level and they get X percent to go into their salaries that they get, well, then the women's on whatever they generate maybe should be the same percentage. To me, that could be equal pay, not necessarily the same dollar.
All right.
And if it was reversed, then they'd get more pay, not less.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for joining us again. I can see that there are several on the air. Why don't you start joining in with us every week? I apologize to the group. I was a little late today, but I hope you guys have a wonderful week, all the panelists. You guys have fun. We'll see again next week.
Have a good week, guys. Have a good week.
All right, guys.
Good to hear you.
Have a good week. Thank you, man.
Thank
Bye.
You. Go Canes.